Good afternoon. I'm David Soibert, and I'm chairing this afternoon's presentation. Just wanted to let you know that Dr. Pokrajic could not be here today, but we do have his presentation in a pre-recorded format, which we'll be playing. But because of that, I'd like to switch the order of the program so that will come at the end of the program. So if you're trying to bounce between sessions and we're here specifically for that, that will be delayed until later. But we have an interesting session this afternoon, and I thank you for coming. We're going to start with a presentation by Jane Lewison. She is a research associate at SOAS, which is the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London, where she studies Persian culture and society. She's a graduate of Pahlavi University in Iran, and since 2005, she has worked on a project to archive and digitize the Gola, if I'm saying that right, Gola radio programs, which were broadcast on Iranian radio, and she is here today to discuss her work. So please give a warm welcome for Mrs. Lewison.
Archiving Persian music has its own challenges archiving Persian music has its own unique challenges because the government has an extremely schizophrenic view of their relationship to music. On one hand, you have religious scholars writing treatises banning music and saying it's an opiate, and it can make people deprived, and so it should not be allowed. And on the other hand, you know, of course, you can't stop music, and you can't stop people from playing and listening to music, no matter how you try. But having said that, for the first 10 years of the after the revolution, music was officially banned, and only military marches and such things could be played on the airwaves. And it was illegal to carry a musical instrument. It was illegal to have tape recorders and tapes. And if you were found to have them, you could be imprisoned. They would be confiscated. And you could also have, you know, fines and, you know, a certain number of lashes and things like that. It was quite onerous. And then at the end of the war, Khomeini decided to ease things up a bit. And so he said that it was okay as long as it was of a high quality. It wasn't a low quality music. It would be all right. And so people were allowed to have their tape recorders, and they were allowed to they could get permission to publish music, although it was very onerous. There were many, many levels of censorship you had to go through, and there was no telling that even if you went through those levels of censorship and you published your tape, if somebody came along and complained about it, or you had somebody write a bad review in a journal about it, saying there was something untoward about it, everything could be confiscated and you could be jailed. So even if you got permission, it wasn't exactly sure that it would be okay to the end. So this archive that I have been working on is a series of radio programs that were produced in Iran from 1956 to the revolution. And of course, all the music and all the performing arts pre-1979 is in extreme danger of being lost for posterity, because certainly the government is doing nothing to preserve it, and all of this material is on magnetic tape or on celluloid, and so it's not being preserved, and all this material may be lost forever, and so there's a great urgency to archive this material and make it available to the next further generations of Iranian scholars, but also to world culture. And so this radio program was quite a watershed in Persian music, because there musicians were always looked down upon in society. Traditionally, they occupied the lower rungs of society. In particular, female musicians and female performers were just one level above prostitutes in the general public's eyes. And so these radio programs that began in 1956 were produced by a man by the name of Daoud Pirniaud, and he was the ex-assistant prime minister, and he came from an extremely aristocratic and influential family. So that immediately gave a particular social kudos to the programs, and he was able to attract to the programs performers and musicians that had not performed publicly before because they didn't want to be stigmatized. And so the quality of the programs was very high, and it was a combination of classical Persian dastgah music and also poetry, which would be declaimed, and also descriptions and commentaries on the poetry and the poets. And we're talking about a society that was 85% illiterate, and so introducing all of this poetry, over 560 poets in the Persian tradition from the Samanid, which is the 10th century, up to the 20th century, 21st century. So, the 20th century, sorry. And so all of these poets were introduced, their poems were declaimed, and their poems were sung. And also, all the a lot of the songwriters from the 19th century, whose songs and compositions had never been recorded, were orchestrated and recorded on these programs. So it served to save the a musical heritage as well. And they also collected the folk songs from the different regions, and these were also sung and orchestrated and broadcast on the programs. And and also, besides the music being in the actual recordings and music of pre-1979 musical heritage in Iran being under threat, all of the written materials, all of the journals are under threat also. They're all printed on newspaper, I mean newsprint, and so totally just disintegrating. And they're not in any of the major libraries. When I started my research, of course I went to the British Library, Library of Congress, Princeton, all the places where we have large collections of Persian material. And these journals were not there. You have a lot of the literary journals, but not the journals to do with performing arts. And I'll just give you a look on a few, what the condition of some of these are. This is a journal called Music of Iran Journal. And you can see it's all rough at the edges. I had to purchase these journals from a used journal vendor in Iran in order to have access to them to get the written material. And so you can just see what type of condition these things are in. And so these also need to be preserved, and hopefully they will be. And this is another spreadsheet. And this is a breakdown of the different types of programs that were in this collection. The first was called Golhay Javidan, or Eternal Flowers, Perennial Flowers. And it consisted mostly of classical Persian poetry with a commentary by one of the leading literary professors from the university, or leading literary critics, and then that poetry would be declaimed and sung. And then they decided that maybe this was a little bit too highbrow for the general public, and so they decided to add another program, which was called Multicolored Flowers. And Multicolored Flowers had not only the classical dastgah system of Persian music and alvaz, but it also had contemporary ballads, which were sung, as well as poetry that was declaimed. And then there were some other programs that were added. One was called the Green Leaf, or Bag of Sabs, and this was predominantly Sufi music. Again, it was only the classical tradition. There were no popular ballads in the Greenleaf series. And then there was another series put out, which was called A Single Flower. And the Single Flower series was small, very short descriptions and biographies of various poets. And then the poems would be sung and declaimed. And one of the unique things that Mr. Pirnia did in The Single Flowers, of course, poetry in Iran was a very male-dominated art form. And in The Single Flowers programs, he introduced over 60 female poets from the 10th century to the 20th century with short biographies and then their poems being declaimed and sung. And then the last series that Mr. Pirnia, the original founder of the programs, put together was the Desert Flowers, which was the regional songs and folk tunes, which were orchestrated and then sung. And then after Mr. Pirnia retired in about 1967, the programs were taken over by various people, and then finally in 1972, one of the major poets in Iran, modern poets in Iran, took over the programs, and he combined them all into one program called Fresh Flowers. And one of the things that he did was he also gave a great support. There was a movement in Iranian music which was called the Return Movement, and they were reviving the songs and music from the Qajar period, which would be the 19th century. And he gave voice to these musicians and these people in this movement in these Fresh Flowers programs, in addition to the other things, but that was one of the things that he did. And the good part about these programs is that they're in every program, at the beginning of the program, it will say who the performers are, who wrote the song, who composed the melody for the song, and the names of the poets who are declaimed. So you have a good deal of the metadata is right there for you. And this is a copy of the box, one of the original boxes. Now, after the revolution, when everything was banned, during that 10-year period, and people took their eye off the ball of the archive, the radio archive, a lot of people would, you know, bribe the tea server and bribe the janitor and give them a shopping list, and then a lot of things went missing from the archive. And so this is one of the things that went missing, which is the original box from the thing. It's very difficult to access the archive of the radio. I did get some access to it, but it's not easy, and it's certainly not simple. And so on this, of course, it's in Persian, so difficult for any of you guys to read. But it gives the day when it was first broadcast and all the information about who was in it. But unfortunately, we don't have access to these boxes. They won't let you just go in and, you know, photocopy them or anything like that. But what I have done, I collected the whole archive, which is about 1,500 programs, about 1,000 hours of audio, and digitized it. And this was under a grant from the Endangered Archives from the British Library. And I deposited a copy of the archive in the British Library, and it's there for anybody to use. But then after doing that, I've created a searchable relational database for the archive. As a basis for archiving the rest of the musical genres of Persian music. And what I'm going to do is just show you, give you a sort of the database will be free on the internet for everybody to use, but it won't be launched till the end of the summer. So I'm going to just run you through what the database looks like and the possibilities of using it are. Let me just close all of this down, go into the internet, and let's see, we don't need to save that. Okay. Now, So the whole database is in both Persian and English, and you can toggle back and forth between the two languages at will, and just click, if you're in the Persian side, you click on that word English, and if you're in the English side, you click on the word Persian. But we'll go through it on the English side. And so here we have, you know, brief description of the history of the programs there, acknowledgments, transliteration system, bibliography of all the books that we used to compile. We checked all the poetry in the original collected works, poetic works of each poet. So all of those, all the editions that we used would be in the bibliography. And then we have we have endorsements from major literary and educational people in Iranian music and literature, describing what they feel are the benefits of this, and so people can look at that. And we have three basic types of search. The first is the basic search, where you can choose a type of, out of the five different types of programs, you can choose the type that you want to look for, and if the internet is kind, you can then. Oh, it worked a minute ago. Uh-huh. Okay. There we are. And then you type in the number of the program that you're looking for, and it will come up. And we have minute by minute or section by section. So in each section where, you know, if it's somebody playing a solo or it's an announcer saying something, they're all separately tagged like that. And if you're looking for, these are the names of all the people who appear in the program, whether they're singing or whether their poetry is being recited. And if you click on any one of those names, on this side, that section where that person is either their poetry is being sung or they're singing will change color, and you can click on the little.
Gyare na qosh chi ro.
And we have arranged it in such a way that it begins playing exactly at where that song or that solo or that poem begins. So you don't have to start at the beginning and sort of drag it up and down and look for the little bit that you're looking for. It begins playing exactly on the spot that you clicked on. And then we also have... Here we are. I have to log in here. Sorry. Okay. So we go back to that. And we have also written the biographies of all of the performers and all of the poets in both Persian and English. So, you know, a lot of these performers, their biographies are, it's very hard to find them, same with the poets. So they're there in both English and Persian, and for the performers, their pictures will show up in a kind of slideshow like that. And then we have also typed out the transcripts of all the poetry, of course, in Persian. We haven't typed them in English because, typing them in English, I don't know how, impossible to translate all this poetry. It's too much poetry. But we've typed them all out, and we've identified the author of the poem and checked it against his collected works and identified the poetic genre. So that for people who are studying Persian literature and they're searching for a particular genre or a particular poet, they can find it there. And also people who want to improve their reading comprehension of Persian, they can listen to the music and read the poetry there. And also we have here, we have all the musical notes for the ballads. You don't write musical notes for the classical Dasgah system. It's improvised on the classical system, so you don't write the notes. But you write the right notes for the ballads. We have scanned all of those that we could find in printed format from old journals to things that were printed recently in the last 10 years or so. And the ones that we could, there's about 700 ballads in the collection, and we found about 125 of them in printed form, which we scanned. And then the others, we're writing the notes for them. And all those notes will be available also on the site for people. So that's what, and also we have this here, which you can, if you find a program that you particularly like, you can add it to your collection, and then hopefully it will come up here. And then you can also email your collection to somebody if you're doing some kind of collaboration with somebody and you want their opinion. You can email your collection. It will also play like iTunes plays, just going one down and the other. So you can also, if you're just a music lover, a music buff, and you want to have your own little collection, there you can. And then that's what we call our basic search. And then we have the individual search. And you can search by all of these different rubrics. So you have the name and number of the program, who sang the classical, in the classical mode, the avaz, who sang the ballad, the name of the song, the composer of the song, the lyricist, poet of the poem sung, poet of the poems declaimed. And here in this, you can also search by the first line of the poem. So if you only know one word to the poem, you type it in, and then you a drop-down list, if we're lucky. Oh, well, it came out an error, but a drop-down list of all the poems with that first word in the first line would come up. And maybe I'll just try refreshing the page. Maybe that'll help. And then you could click on it, and that poem will come up where you, some error, somebody must be doing something. And then you can, the poetic genre, the musicians, the instrument, the modal system, the melodic segment, which and the arranger, the announcer, the commentator, and the sound technician. You can search by all of those different rubrics. And then we have the advanced search. And I hope we're not going to get error on everything again. The advanced search, you can search by several different aspects, and that program that has that aspect will come up. So you can search by the name of a melodic segment, and then you can search by the name of a singer. And you could search by the type of poem. So here we have, we're searching for a melodic segment called Bidad, which occurs in the Dasgah of Humayun and sung by Shah Jadian and the famous Persian singer. Some of you may know his name. And we want the poem to be a ghazal. And if you click here, another error encountered. In any case, when you click on it, all the places in the database. This is still just the beta version, so that's why we get some of these errors. But all of the places where that melodic segment was sung in the archive will come in a list. And when you click on them, it will begin playing at the first note of that melodic segment. So, you know, if you're a musicologist and you want to do a comparison between how this singer sung that melodic segment and how that singer sung that melodic segment, you can do it very easily. Or if you want to compare the performances of two different musicians something like that, it would be very easy to do. And basically, the whole object of this is to make all of this material available to the general public, to ethnomusicologists, to students of Persian literature, and also we hope to expand the database to include the other genres of Persian music, the solo music, the private recordings, the folk music, and index them all and add them all to this so that they'll be available to the general public and both inside and outside of Iran. So thank you all for listening. Sorry for the technical errors.
We have time for a couple of questions if anybody has questions.
Yes. Matt? It's close to 1,000.
Close to 1,000. Well,
yeah.
Congratulations. And when will the study be going?
In August.
In August.
Very much so. When I first started this project, when I first thought of starting it, which was in December of 2004, if you searched for the word Golha on the internet, whether you searched it in Persian or you searched it in English, nothing would come up, zero. And now, if you search for the word Golha in Persian or English, hundreds of thousands of things come up. And when I've been interviewed by a lot of Persian media places, both Voice of America, BBC Persian Service, and other smaller places, and you know, there's been a very strong reaction, and people from all over the world have sent me their archives. Someone sent me 1,000 reel tapes that were recorded in the 1950s and 60s in Shiraz, Iran. And you know, I think I probably have over 200 gigabytes of digitalized material that people have sent me, and so you know, hopefully, you know, I'll get lucky and get some grants to get some people to help me put this index it and put it up onto the internet. But there's no National Sound Archive in Iran, and so there's no way that any material post 1979, of course, is just going to be lost. The effort that went into this? Well, I mean, once I had when I was collecting, because this is almost like a cult program in Iran, you know, people absolutely loved it so much, that people would, if there was a missing number, you know, they would, and they found a song that sounded similar, they would stick a couple of things together and put an introduction on it and say, oh, this is the missing program that we've all been looking for. But it was just a compilation, it was a bastardization. And so in order to weed these out, I constructed this database. And then when I showed it to musicians and literary people in the field of Persian literature, you know, they were gobsmacked and they said, oh, we want a copy. So then I decided to make it public. And it's open source, I had two programmers who sort of customized the open source material for me, and then at one point I had about 10 or 12 research associates in Iran who were helping me with tagging the audio to make the audio searchable so that, you know, when you put something in, it would find it. And so all of the audio files needed to be tagged. And each audio file might have had anywhere between 10 to 50 tags. And so they would take the harvested information that I had harvested from the archive, I would give it to them, and then they would you know, just real-time listen to it and tag it. And it's all drop-down menus, so they would just, all the lists had already been made, and they didn't have to type it in, so they would just tag everything and put the tags on, and that's what made it searchable. Yes? No, I think it helped. I speak Persian fluently without an accent. That helps. Because when they see... What? Well, you have to wear a headscarf and, you know, whatever. But you don't have to wear a chador or anything, the big black tenty thing. But, you know, you can just wear sort of like a loose coat or something like that and a headscarf. But I think it helped because, first of all, they were gobsmacked that, you know, somebody... from another country spoke their language and was interested in their culture. This is private people. And most of the things I got were from private collectors, although I did get some cooperation from some of the institutions, from the radio. And all of the collecting I did it on an exchange basis. I didn't pay money for anything. So I would make an agreement with the private collector or with an institutional collector and say, okay, I will give you whatever I have and you give me whatever you have, and we would exchange. And in most cases, I had more recordings than they did. But you know, the point is that this should be available. I'm not trying to make it exclusive, I'm trying to make it inclusive so everybody can have a touch. So the more collectors have a full collection, the better it is for the... Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Where did you get the first recordings?
The very first ones that I got were from a friend of mine, a professor of Persian literature, who's also an American, and he was in Iran for he got his PhD at Tehran University. He and his wife, his name is Bill Chittick, and he was there for 12 years and was a big fan of the programs, and he would record them off the radio. And so he gave me about 50 reel tapes, and that was the beginning of the recordings that I got. And then, you know, when
he was there before 79?
Yes, 12 years he was there before 79. He taught at the university. He got his PhD there, and then he taught there. Both he and his wife taught at the university there.
So the tapes have been taken out?
Yes. When he after the revolution, when he moved, he took them out, and he was at Stony Brook, and that's where I got them from, and he was happy to give them to me because he no longer had the real recorder, so I digitized them and gave them to him, and then he could hear them again. Yes. In Iran, after 30 years, everything becomes, they have an internal kind of copyright thing. They never signed any of the copyright conventions anywhere in the world. So they're not signatories to any of them. And they have also an internal kind of semi-copyright system. And that, after 30 years, any book or intellectual property becomes public domain. So on both sides, these are all, you know, over 30 years old, and also internationally, well, they never signed any of the cup. And these, all the performers were, all these performances were contracted by the radio. So all these people were paid employees of the radio, and I have copies of some of their contracts. You know, so and so, you know, 30 sessions at so and such and such amount of. Per session, and so they were all employees. So it would have belonged, if it belonged to anybody, it would have belonged to the Iranian National Radio, which no longer exists, and also it was way over 30 years ago.
Anywhere we can import that law?
Well, thank you all for listening.
That's great.
Okay.
Thank you, Jane, for that presentation. We look forward to seeing the website this summer, right? Great. Would be the there's a registration list that Nathan will mail out after the conference, I believe.
We have the pre-registration list.
You have the pre-registration list, right?
Yeah.